wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is AB Dawji and this is the big... I'm going to start again. We're having lots of technical problems here. This is AB Dawji and this is the big picture. Ahlan wa sahlan and how's it, my respected listeners? As I said, I am stuck on that word, respected. And did you remember me in your pious duas? That's another one that got me wondering. And if you didn't listen to me last week's program, then you will also be wondering what I'm talking about. Yes, welcome to the big picture, where we analyze, dissect, uncover dastardly deeds, subterfuge, double dealings, and conspiracies, and look for the kala in the dal. Yes, folks, after your weekly dose of the big picture, we leave you adequately confused, wondering what the heck is happening in the world, leaving you in need of urgent trauma counseling. Speaking about trauma, yes, I say, Eskom really takes the cake. Very delayed fellows these are. They waited a whole week to have their Black Friday. Just like that, out of the blue, things went black. I spent the whole morning yesterday getting my whole program ready, getting my passenger list ready on my computer with all the details about my tours put in, ready to send it to my agent overseas. Just one or two more things to add. Then I went off to Juma Salah and then it was the dal goes jol. As I dished out the aloo fry, shoo, the lights went off. And I thought, shoo, my computer at the office must have also gone off. And shoo, my whole morning's work down the drain. You know, you have this overwhelming, uncontrollable urge to clap someone. No wonder our electricity company is referred to as Eskom. Right, now to serious issues. I want to declare clearly and very openly, the Ummah has been sleeping for too long. Did you get that? The Ummah has been sleeping for too long. What do I mean by that? Okay, let me explain. People suddenly woke up over the past week or two to ask me whether I have any place on my tours this December. So they suddenly woke up. Lots of calls. So let me make an official announcement. We are full. Finish. Khalas. Long ago, we closed the tour to Vietnam, the tour to Spain and Morocco, the tour to the Middle East, and the tour to India and Kashmir. So there's nothing, zero. No use calling us. It's over. So, Joburgers, you will have to head to good old Durbs with your small, fat, red kids who only get hungry after meals. Hey, I'm only joking. I really like people from Gauteng. 80% of the people on my tours are from there. Very nice people. Very nice people. And speaking about my tours, the radio station gave me permission to speak a little about what I'm planning for next year. Okay, folks. First one up is something that's on everyone's bucket list, I've heard. Bucket list. So before you kick the bucket, you have to do this tour. A tour to a most fascinating place in the world. Fascinating part of the world. To view a spectacular natural phenomenon. A brilliant, mind-blowing sight known as the Northern Lights. We depart on the 6th of March, which is the best time. March is the best time to see the lights. We fly to Oslo in Norway and then to the far north, to the Arctic Circle, to the town of Tromso, where we spend a few days to view the amazing, amazing Northern Lights. The entire sky is lit up with a kaleidoscope of colors, a natural phenomenon, as I told you, like no other. Of course, lots of maja, dog sledging, jolling in the snow, etc. Then we get onto a cruise ship for a magic four-day trip down the Norwegian coast, stopping at a number of very quaint towns and villages along the way. We get off at Bergen, and then take a train ride, described by many as one of the best in the world, back to Oslo and then home. And of course, I made contact with Muslim organizations in Norway, and they're excited to meet us, and inshallah, maybe they will invite us to a lekker chow session, like a walima jol, to meet the local community. The word is maja. Well, my dear Sleepy Joes, since I announced the tour last week to a few people who traveled with me previously on my trips, bookings were like, what shall I say, not hotcakes, but like hot puri pattas, flying out. We are now almost sold out, like about maybe 3 or 4 cabins left on the ship. So, dear Umma, wake up, call me quickly, 082-352-3526. And if you can't remember my number, then just Google my name and the number will pop up. But act very fast. As I told you, 4 or 5 cabins left, and we go for an ad break. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to The Big Picture with A.B. Dawji. And I mentioned to you that we've got this Northern Lights tour and about 4 or 5 cabins left over. And the phones are already buzzing. My cell phone is lighting up here. I'll have to call all those people back. Maybe I'll try to get a few more cabins, inshallah. So, what else is planned for next year? Get your diaries out and write this down. Come with me in June on the magical, deeply inspiring tour to Bosnia and Croatia. A great holiday and a wonderful feeling of brotherhood to meet the strong Muslim community in the heart of Europe. And you know what? They all look like paka vetos there, vetos and all. And Sarajevo, what can I tell you about Sarajevo? We stay in a lovely hotel in the heart of Sarajevo, and then there is a whole labyrinth, whole network of pedestrian walkways with small little cafes. It's absolutely magical, Sarajevo. You think you are in Overport because when you're standing outside the hotel, right in the heart of Sarajevo, you can hear the azan from every direction. So many masajid there. So that's Bosnia and Croatia in June. And then, right in the school holidays. So take your kids, let's go for some maja. And let's see, what else have I got? Then in July is the tour to Russia. Big demand for that one also. We've had some very successful trips there to Moscow and St. Petersburg and Kazan, the Muslim area. Again, it's quite an eye-opener. Spectacular masajid and so on. And a well-organized Muslim community. Of course, that trip is in July. Lots of calls coming in for that one. Now, somewhere around that time also is the tour to Uzbekistan, the land of Imam Bukhari and other great Islamic luminaries. I'm getting lots of calls for Pakistan. I've never done that before, although I've been to Pakistan twice already. Guest of Musharraf, can you believe it? The government invited me there. So I've been there twice already. Incredible. Murray up in the mountains. Magical. Magical. No other word can describe that place. So I'm planning that one for Pakistan sometime next year. Send me an email if you are interested. And you will get the first option once it's confirmed. My email is very easy, abie@iafrica.com. abie@iafrica.com. Right. Well, I'm off next week to the Middle East, inshallah. So the big picture will be presented by the able and capable, highly knowledgeable fellows. And that is Aslam Mayat and his good lady Shamima. And then on another week by Mustafa Darsot. Be sure to listen on Saturday, particularly Saturday, the 21st of December, to Aslam Mayat and Shamima interviewing a well-known personality here in Durban, Ibrahim Issa. Here's a snippet to whet your appetite. Ibrahim Issa is a comic book and Hindi film aficionado based in Durban. He taught high school physical science for 30 years before retiring in 2016. He is widely published letter writer to various newspapers across South Africa and is the author of the life story of Suleiman Issa Patel and was also a contributor to the anthology Undressing Durban. And E.B. Koibi is his first book, E.B. Koibi. We know we have some con artists in this community, but ever heard about hiding gold under the chassis of a car and trying to take it to Bombay to sell? Well, this is what an uncle from Durban tried to do in the 1930s. The poor chap got caught. This is one of a number of amazing stories from a new book by Ibrahim Issa, where he talks about growing up in Durban, bunking school, fighting gangs in Albert Street, and going to the village in India in the 60s. The book is called E.B. Koibi, and my Memon Bhais can try to tell me what it means. It is available on Amazon and at Ike's Bookstore in Durban. On 21st December, we will have him in the studio speaking to Aslam Mayat and Shamima. And there will also be some giveaways, perhaps that book or maybe something else, 22 carat, I don't know. Right, so there you are, the interview on the 21st. Dear listeners, be sure not to miss this interview. Aslam and Shamima Maya speaking to Ibrahim Issa, 21st December. Note that. Yes, folks, a glimpse into life in Durban during them days. Now, that's an expression I haven't heard for a long time. Balis used to say, them days, meaning the good old days. Big pot biryani picnics at the Indian beach. Jagadish and Devar early Sunday morning Indian program on radio and top 10 on LM radio with Evelyn Martin and David Davies. Right, and of course, we used to do window shopping, strange thing that, and today the lighters will laugh at us. Window shopping in West Street or driving out there to see the Christmas lights, and we used to eat mangoes, eating green mangoes with chili powder. I don't know, all the buddies talk about them days. I'm only 45 or what is 44 years old now. Or was it 42? Right, let's move on. There are huge, huge upheavals in the Muslim world. Lebanon and Iraq have been gripped by huge demonstrations for the past, I think, a month or two. People are fed up, and they're fed up with two things in particular: the state of the economy and corruption at the highest level. They want the whole government to footsack, completely leave. To try to defuse the situation, in Lebanon, the Prime Minister Saad Hariri resigned. In Iraq, the Prime Minister Abdul Mahdi resigned 5 days ago. But the people won't buy that. They want all the Chorwans gone, the whole corrupt government. So the demonstrations are ongoing, and people are killed by militia groups loyal to the government and so on. It's a horrible situation. It's a very bad picture. But maybe in the end it will turn out okay, inshallah. Inshallah, after that corrupt government is driven out. So, dear listeners, where else in the world, in which other country, is the economy doing very badly, getting worse by the day, and also where there is corruption at the highest level of government? Bad economy and corrupt government. Where is it happening in the world? Can you think of an example? Does it ring any bells? Anyone? Bad economy and corrupt government? Anyone? Who said that? South Africa? No. Really? Yeah, we have got a lousy economy going downhill and a corrupt government. Yes, sis, I never thought of that, But come to think of it, yeah, I think you're right, what does that mean, Are we heading for some mass demonstration somewhere down the line? Upheavals, fed up people, burning and looting, like in Iraq or in Iran? Are you worried? Well, I am. So, what to do, What to do? Hey, I just came across something that may just give you a way out. Some good news. And I read it in the British Guardian newspaper. Dear respected listeners, if you are nervous about what's happening in our country and you feel that there's going to be upheavals later on, then you can move to a new nation that has just been set up on an island off the coast of Ecuador in South America. Listen to this, the Guardian newspaper. A fugitive guru and a self-appointed godman, he's a guru and a self-appointed so-called godman, who is facing charges of abduction and rape in India, has established his own island nation, reportedly off the coast of Ecuador. Nityananda, who built up a huge spiritual following in India, is on the run from the Gujarat police over multiple allegations that he abducted and confined children to collect donations for his ashram and that he raped one of his disciples. While Nityananda's whereabouts are unknown, on Wednesday he announced he was establishing the sovereign Republic of Kailasa. Kailasa, which would be the world, in his words, the world's greatest and purest nation. The so-called cosmic country will reportedly be established on a private island off the coast of Ecuador, purchased by some of his wealthy devotees. Applications are open for those who want to apply for citizenship and a passport. As a founder of the Nityananda Dhyanapitam Trust, the guru has set up over a dozen temples and ashrams across India. But there are many people mocking him over his claims of his spiritual abilities. Huh? Some people are actually mocking him for some of the claims that he's made. Spiritual abilities, including being able to delay the sunrise for 40 minutes. Wow! He can delay the sunrise by 40 minutes. Being able to see through walls. Curing 82 children of blindness by, in his words, opening their third eye. Ooh, I wonder what that is. And get it, this is the best one. He claims that he can get cows to speak in Sanskrit and Tamil. In 2010, there was further controversy over the release of a tape featuring him and a female Tamil actor. Ooh. Right, so there you are. There you are, folks. Start packing. Off you go to the Republic of Kailasa. Wonderful new nation off the coast of Ecuador. No crime, no corruption. Just relax in the sunshine and enjoy the wonderful weather. But hey, wait. As I read this article, it says applications are open to only practicing Hindus. Oh, shucks, eh? Well, that counts you out, listeners. Hadis, you will just have to stick it out right here. What was described in the good old days, in the dem days. Eh? South Africa, land of Braaiflays, sunny skies and Chevrolet. You remember that, eh, Bullies? South Africa, land of Braaiflays, sunny skies and Chevrolet. And now referred to as the land of blackouts, tenders and hijackings. Right, so there you are. The guru can keep his island paradise. Let's now go to the other side of the pond, to the good old US of A. I'm sure there are many, there are some people, I'm sure there are some people out there who don't like me saying that Donald J. Trump is cronk. J, of course, means jungly. Well, my, my diagnosis seems to be spot on. Really, my diagnosis is spot on. This is what was reported yesterday in the British Independent newspaper. A group of mental health professionals led by a trio of preeminent psychiatrists is urging the House Judiciary Committee to consider Donald Trump's dangerous mental state arising from his brittle sense of self-worth as part of its inquiry into whether to approve articles of impeachment against him. And this is what they say. We are speaking out at this time because we are convinced that as the time of possible impeachment approaches, Donald Trump has the real potential to become even to even more dangerous, a threat to the safety of our nation. And this was said by Yale Medical School Professor Dr. Bandy Lee, George Washington University Professor Dr. John Zinner, and former CIA profiler Dr. Jared Post in a statement which will be sent to the House Judiciary Committee on Thursday. The statement will be accompanied by a petition with at least 350 signatures from mental health professionals endorsing their conclusions. Huh? Yes, sir. 350 psychiatrists came to that conclusion now in the last week. You know what? They should have called me 2 years ago when President Pagla was standing for elections. I saw the signs right there. The symptoms were right there, and I read them correctly that he is a first-class Pagla. And here's the latest pronouncement from Pagla himself. You know, he is very, very worried, having sleepless night, about something very serious. Is it about the trade war with China that is steadily hotting up? Is he worried about the devastating impact of global warming, or maybe the damning evidence coming out at his impeachment hearing that may result in him being booted out from the White House? Huh? Is he worried about all these things? Not a chance, folks. Not a Donald Jungly Trump is gripped by something even more serious. The flushing of toilets. What's all this about, I hear you say? Well, this all started when George H.W. Bush, now that's the old guy, the old man, the president, not his lighty, the small fella, the shrub, that is George Bush Jr. So George Bush, old man, signed a law that said water, to save water. He signed a law to save water and declared that toilets in new buildings must not be able to flush more than 1.6 gallons of water at a time. The law went into effect in 1994. And Trump was speaking on Friday, yesterday, at a press conference, and this is what he said. He said, people are flushing toilets 10 times, 15 times, as opposed to once. People are flushing toilets 10 times, 15 times, as opposed to once. They end up using more water. We're looking very strongly at sinks and showers. You go into a new building, a new house, or a new home, and they have standards, and you don't get water. You can't wash your hands practically. There's so little water that comes out of the tap. And the end result is you leave the tap on and it takes you so much longer to wash your hands, and you end up using the same amount of water. And some said relaxing water conservation standards might not be practical in some arid regions of the nation. But he claimed in many states there's plenty of water. He said, it comes down. It's called rain. There you are, folks. A great lesson from the president. The stuff that comes down from the sky is known as rain. Wow. I'm so impressed, Habibi. So impressed. Fires are raging in Australia and California from global warming. Economies are going down the drain. Riots in Hong Kong. The Middle East is falling apart. And Trump is worried about flushing toilets. You know, I really admire that man. He's always talking a load of sheer facts, facts about water. Right? We're just coming to the end of the program. And of course, this program is broadcast live on Radio Islam and Radio Al-Ansar. And after 12 o'clock, we cross over to Radio Al-Ansar, which is available to all you Joburgers on your cell phone via audio streaming. Right, let's see what we got for you from the graveyard of the light at the end of the tunnel. I read these words of wisdom in our morning newspaper. Charles Dickens said, there is nothing better than a friend. unless it's a friend with chocolates. And I read something else also that's very accurate. A fanatic is a person who cannot change his mind and won't change the subject. Hey, I like that one. A fanatic is a person who won't change his mind and won't change the subject. And let's see what else I got for you here. Right, we finished with all the sayings. Now, this reminds me of what Ronnie said to Gulambai from Mir Bank. Ronnie said to Gulambai from Mir Bank, he said, "Boss, you know what happened?" And Gulambai said, "What happened, Ron? What happened?" And Ronnie replied, "My fro was putting on her makeup and she asked me to pass the lipstick. Gulu, by mistake, I passed her the super glue. Now she stopped talking to me." You know, sometimes children speak the truth, and it can be quite startling. 6-year-old Sumaya was pointing to a book on the bookshelf. It was the Quran, and she asked, "Mummy, what is that up there?" And Mummy replied, "That is Allah's book." And Sumaya said, "Better give it back to him because no one around here reads it." Like a club that was, eh? Right, the Maulana here in Espingo went outside his flat to, the flat is attached to the masjid. And just outside there he found a dead donkey in the yard. And so he called the police, and the man at the police said, no, you have to call the health department. And then he phoned the health department, and the man said, sorry, you must call the sanitation department. And the man at the sanitation department said, sorry, we can't remove the donkey without the mayor's permission. So the Maulana was a bit fed up now and not too keen to call the mayor because he knew that the mayor had a very bad temper. And then he took a deep breath. He said, okay, let me chance it. He took a deep breath and he called the mayor. Well, the mayor didn't disappoint at all. He was very irritated and said, "Hey, why are you calling me? You are a Maulana. Hey, isn't your job to bury the dead?" And Maulana replied, "Yes, Mayor, it is my job to bury the dead, but I always like to notify the next of kin first." Well, there you are. We've run out of time. Sorry for starting so late. Some technical problems. This is A.B. Dawji bidding you all Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.